gonna say it. Somebody should. Let's talk about two time. Let's talk about bud wine, yeah. You're asking the questions that nobody could. Like where the bone thugs in, are they in harmony?
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode. This is kind of a weird episode because I'm diving in without really much to talk about off the top of the dome, as they say. But I do have one thing that we'll just get to right away. So recently, Mike Tyson fought Jake Paul in a boxing match on Netflix, which is like a crazy thing to exist and a crazy thing for him to do. It's a crazy thing for both of them to do in one respect, which is, you know, on one hand, I guess if you're a boxer, it's cool to be able to say, I took down Mike Tyson. You know what I mean? But I mean, it's a little bit too like saying, like, I think I could fuck up Muhammad Ali right now. Well, let's say I think I could fuck up Muhammad Ali when he was like barely able to stand. And you're like, I mean, yeah, I suppose, you know, I don't know, guys, how exciting is that? Do you know what I mean? I think I could beat Caitlyn Jenner in a decathlon today. And it's like, I mean, it to me, it's like a lose-lose, right? Because like if someone was like, do you want to fight Mike Tyson? And, you know, I would be like, well, I guess on the one hand, if I beat him, it's cool. But I mean, realistically, anyone who knows anything about anything is just going to be like, well, dude, you beat a Mike Tyson, you know, 30 years past his prime and he's 30 years older than you. Like it's a crazy difference. It's not even like, you know, this is like actually happened what happened in the movie Rocky Balboa. I guess that is one thing that could be said for this is it does add some verisimilitude to the motion picture Rocky Balboa, where, you know, he's fighting a much younger man in the ring. It adds a little bit of that because, you know, Tyson isn't dead. I don't think so. You know, I guess he did better than being killed, which it seems like a low standard. You know what I mean? For almost any endeavor, I would say any endeavor other than like trying to find the Northwest Passage or something, making it to the South Pole for the first time. It's like, yeah, I mean, if you did the thing and didn't die, that's pretty much all there is to it. You know what I mean? And even if you didn't accomplish it, if you didn't make it to the South Pole, but you're like, also, I didn't die. It's like, well, that's pretty good. So, like, I don't know. It's a crazy thing, but it's like, I understand completely how it happened. I know nothing about it. I haven't watched anything about it other than the clip I'm about to play. But I know what happened. It's like, well, ask anyone in America to name a boxer. They will name the name Mike Tyson or, you know, they are Lennox Lewis's son. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's not really a whole lot of boxers who are known because that's kind of a sport that's gone away for the most part. And also it's like, well, you know, there's like a couple boxers who are really famous and then there are a bajillion of them who are unknown, which is, you know, it had me thinking. Because I was like, you know, what sucks about, yeah, writing the books I write and stuff is I'm like, I'm never going to be known. I'm never going to be famous. I'm never going to be rich. But then thinking about this, I was like, you know what? I mean, there's probably as many boxers in history who have not been rich and famous from their boxing as writers who have not been rich and famous from their writing. And at least nobody's punching me in the head. You know what I mean? It's like, well, the thing I'm doing that doesn't really help me financially or in any other, you know, concrete way, it's not damaging my brain, probably. I don't think. So I'm like, well, I guess that's something. You know what I mean? But anyway, I'm like, well, this is why it happened. Because people know who Mike Tyson is because he was a boxer. But also it's like, oh, he's in these movies and he's got a face tattoo. And, you know, he's got like ancillary fame beyond just being a boxer. He's like, I don't know, Bruce Lee, who's like a famous martial artist. But you're like, but he's not really famous because he's a martial artist. He's famous because there's all this ancillary stuff. He kind of has become the iconography of, you know, martial arts in a lot of ways. And then Jake Paul is like a young man who I don't actually know anything about him other than I think he was like a YouTube guy who was famous for some reason or maybe no reason. And then kind of decided like maybe I'll start like boxing people and has been relatively okay, successful. Anyway, so they had a fight. Which I was like, well, I think the obvious, you know, the obvious thing here is like, Netflix is like, you know, people will watch this, and they're like, maybe this is our way to dabble in the sports game. And Mike Tyson and Jake Paul each made like tens of millions of dollars. So, you know, if someone was like, do you think you could take down Mike Tyson? I'd be like, no. And they're like, what about if you boxed him for 8 rounds and then you got $40 million? I would deeply consider it. I'd be like, do I have to make it? Or like, if he just knocks me out, am I done? But at any rate, leading up to the event, you know, there was some pomp and circumstance. You know, there were like behind the scenes shows and stuff, which is, I think that's the part of this I find the funniest, because like, you know, they did back in the day, they did like celebrity boxing and you would just watch it. Celebrity boxing, which is what this is, had the same problem, right? You're like, I mean, I don't know how I feel about watching like a young Dustin Diamond knock around Horseshack for 10 minutes. You know what I mean? And it's like, he's a much younger guy. He's a much fitter guy. This just doesn't really make any sense. Like, why this is happening? I guess at least this one, they're both boxers. It would make more sense if Mike Tyson fought a non-boxer to me. Because it's like, okay, well, you know, he's not at the peak of his game. He's an older man. There's no way he's going to be, like, as energetic as this younger guy. But he's a lot more experienced than this younger guy. So, you know what I mean? That would be something, I guess. But a young boxer who's like probably in his prime-ish versus an old boxer who's definitely way beyond his prime. I don't know, man. And it's like, well, he took the fight and whatever. And it's like, yeah, he took the fight not because he's like, this will be entertaining for people to watch, or like, oh, you know, whatever. He took the fight because he's like, well, they're going to pay me $20 million. So, yeah, I'm going to do that. Even though this isn't something I don't want to do. It would be like if someone said, do you want to write a Christian romance? I'd be like, no. And they're like, we'll pay you $20 million. I'd be like, yeah, fucking A. I'm happy to. All right, let's hear. I want to listen to this interview. Uh-oh. This website just went nuts on me. Oh, I think it'll still work. Okay, so this is like a young girl. She's probably like 12 interviewing Mike Tyson.
Well, in your return to the ring for this fight, you are setting a monumental opportunity for kids my age to see the legend, Mike Tyson, in the ring for the first time. What type of legacy would you like to leave behind when it's all said and done?
So, I mean, she starts off, she's being nice and doing a good job interviewing. I don't know how I feel about the idea of seeing Mike Tyson in the ring is a monumental opportunity. Because I'm like, well, this is the whole problem with the premise to me is like, you're not seeing Mike Tyson in the ring. You're seeing, you know, Mike Tyson plus 30 years in the ring. I mean, let's just put it like this. I'm not saying it's like, oh, whatever, you know, old people can't do things. I'm just saying if someone was like, oh, this is a great opportunity for me to see Pete naked, I'd be like, you know, that probably would have been. You're not getting the same opportunity as someone who had that opportunity you know, I don't know, 20 years ago. You're just not. Let's be realistic. But also, I'm like, you're really giving a great opportunity for kids like me to watch a, you know, rapist knock someone around and hit them in the head. I mean, the definition of opportunity is being stretched. But anyway, she's like, what do you think of legacy or something?
Well, I don't know. I don't believe in the word legacy. I just think that's another word for ego. That's just some word everybody grabbed onto. Now it's used every 5 seconds. It means absolutely nothing to me. I'm just passing through. I'm going to die, and it's going to be over. Who cares about legacy after that?
And he's just looking this young girl in the eyes, and he's like, I'm just going to die, and no one's going to remember me. Who cares about legacy after that?
What a big ego. So I'm a die. I want people to think that I'm this. I'm great. No, we're nothing. We're just dead. We're dust. We're absolutely nothing.
I mean, okay, it's horrible because, like, it would seem Mike Tyson's going through some shit. I wouldn't be surprised if what he's going through is prompted by, you know, what this exact fight we're talking about, because, like, let's be honest, if he has any sense, which I think he has at least this much sense, he probably knows it's like, look, they're just throwing me in the ring to basically get knocked around by this guy, and, like, this isn't something I'm doing that's like, oh yeah, this is going to be remembered through the ages or something. He's like, well, I'm going to take the money and whatever, and people are going to watch it just because, for no real reason. You know what I mean?
Our legacy is nothing.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. That is something that I have not heard before, someone say that as an answer.
Can you really?
I mean, she's doing a really good job, at least as being a very young person, hearing this thing, which I 100% believe that, you know, this 12-year-old has never interviewed someone who was like, legacy means nothing. I'm going to die. We're all just dust. And she's like, okay. Because I think most people, even if they thought that, you know what I mean? Probably aren't just going to bust that out in an interview with, like, a child. It's like you go in for career day and they're like, what do you do for a living? And I'm like, who cares, man? I don't know. We're all just going to die. No one's going to remember me. You're not even going to remember me in a week from now. I mean, now you probably will because this fucked up thing that I said in front of all these kids.
I really imagine somebody say, I want my legacy to be this way when you're dead. You think somebody really wants to think about you? I want people to think about me when I'm gone. Who the fuck cares about me when I'm gone?
And she's like looking at the camera smiling, and he's just seriously, who the fuck cares about me when I'm gone? That's so brutal. I mean, I'm laughing because, you know, on a bonus episode that I recorded this weekend, you know, I was walking and just, I was talking about legacy. I'm not even kidding. I was like, thinking about, you know, why do I do the things that I do? Why do I write books or whatever? You know what I mean? All that shit. And I was kind of like, I don't know, just thinking about it in terms of, you know, I just do it because I want to. And it's nice to give people a little something nice in their lives and stuff like that. But this, you know, so, but part of what I was saying when I was doing it was I was like, you know, I don't believe in legacy either in terms of most of us are going to be forgotten very quickly after we're dead. And then everyone will be forgotten, you know, within like 100 years. Right. Like, I mean, how much do you know about your great, great grandparents? You know what I mean? And it's like, those are people who directly affected your life, without whom you wouldn't exist. And even them, you're like, I don't really know anything about them. So it's like, how much can we really expect? And, you know, if you come up with like, you can come up with like exceptions to that rule, right? Because you can be like, Shakespeare, And I'm like, all right, but how many Shakespeare juniors are out there who didn't quite make it to Shakespeare's level, which is like the tippy top level, and, you know, who we know nothing about and no one will ever know anything about. And eventually the planet will get hit by an asteroid that we probably know is coming. I was just looking at this thing. We'll get to this in a second. Let's see. Sorry. You know, an asteroid's going to hit us or whatever. But, like, I don't mean it in a depressive way. I just feel like that's reality. And it is hard to look at that reality and not get a little depressed. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't know. Once you've been living with it for a couple decades, it's really not that surprising. You know what I mean? It's not that not that horrific. Anyway, we were just, I found this amazing because, like, the conclusion I came to was like, you know, you're just here for a short time, but you're here with the other people you're here with, and maybe just doing things that other people enjoy is like a nice thing to do because it just makes the time we're here more pleasant. And for him, it seems like he's like, I'll just be dust and I'll be dead and who gives a fuck? You know what I mean? But just the bluntness of it was amazing. And just sort of the, I've never seen someone do an interview with a child like that. And I guess maybe that's part of the brave new world of media that we're in here. Because it's like, well, I guess if a child is interviewing Mike Tyson, which is a bizarre concept in a way. But, you know, a child's interviewing Mike Tyson before he gets in a fist fight with another guy. And Mike Tyson's just giving it to her straight, man. He's just like, fuck this shit. No one cares about me. I'm going to be dead and then no one will even know I existed. You know, why would anyone care? The end. And, you know, drops the F-bomb. And you're just like, okay. I mean, in a way, I respect it. I respect it deeply in a way, just because, you know, it's funny to hear someone be that blunt, but also, I don't know. He's just like, what is someone going to do? They're going to complain. I'm Mike Tyson. What did they think I was going to say? They thought I was going to be like a friendly, like it's like meeting Dan Aykroyd in an airport and he takes a picture with your kid because your kid loves Ghostbusters, but really it's you that loves Ghostbusters. I think it's pretty interesting, I guess, and pretty funny. I really want to answer my phone right now. I've been getting the same call from like the same, should I just do it on speaker and hope it comes through? Hello. They hung up on me. Can you believe that? It's the same guy has been calling from the same thing to like offer me either auto insurance. I think it's an extended warranty on my car, which is insane. Yeah. US Auto Care. Mike from US Auto Care. They've been calling me like twice a day. And, you know, they're like, they keep offering me an extended warranty on my car. And I'm like, guys, this is not, you are barking up a tree that is so wrong. It's such the wrong tree. I can't even explain to you. You know, I'm like, nobody is extending a car warranty to 25 years ever. That is never going to happen, nor should it. By the way, that shouldn't exist. So, you know, the fact that you're like even offering it is insane. The next thing I was getting to, so an idea I've had for a long time, I've wanted to get my hands on a diary. I don't know when this occurred to me, but I started looking at the thrift store, you know, because they have notebooks in a section there. And sometimes there's like what's clearly a journal or a diary. And I always was like, I wonder if I'll ever find one that's actually been written in. You know what I mean? And I think I did find one once, but it had like two very minor entries in it or something like that. So I've constantly been on the lookout for it. And I was just sort of like, there must be someone somewhere who's like archived these or created, you know, I don't know, something. And I really haven't found one. So it's kind of interesting. Like, I kind of wanted to start, you know, when I'm in my manic phases, which I get in periodically throughout the day, just probably by coincidence, right after I drink coffee in the morning, I'm like, I should start a thing that's about like archiving old diaries or even like old blogs. You know what I mean? I should be like, did you keep a MySpace blog or a Zanga blog or a Blogspot blog? You know what I mean? Stuff like that. I would love to just keep those and look through them and stuff. And it could be anonymized, so no one would know who you were. But, you know, it seems like the easiest or only way to get access to those is someone still has them and then lets you have access to them. I don't think anyone's really about to send me their old diary. You know what I mean? That's probably too much to hope for. But so, you know, I was like looking online, though, and like the first thing that sucks about it is there are a lot of diaries from like the 1800s. I would say like the 1800s up till the 1940s, which is, I guess, probably a lot more people kept diaries, but a lot of them are extremely boring. You know what I mean? There's not like, oh, Tommy got wasted at this party and puked in the sink. You know, it's stuff like, it'll just be like what they did that day. And, you know, it'll be like vacuumed the house and like whatever, and you're like, well, this almost could be, I could see this being an Ari Aster movie, an A24 horror movie, and it's just a diary some lady's keeping of housekeeping, and it's just like, my God, can you imagine the horrors of just this being the, you know, extent of your life? The perimeters of your life are just stretched out there before you, only as long as that vacuum's power cord. But you know, that's not what I'm looking for. But also, I just think that kind of diary would be boring. I really am looking for like a teenage diary, maybe starting in somewhere around the 70s, 80s, 90s, and beyond, as a radio station would say, of the hits that they play from, you know, the eras of the hits that they play. And like, I thought, I was like, well, maybe on eBay. You know what I mean? But I don't think anyone's really selling a lot of diaries on eBay just because, I don't know. The thing is, I think that old diaries are available because people were still alive, you know? So I think that's probably, the people whose diaries are being sold are no longer alive. And I'm not looking too for, I don't really want something that's like a, you know, diary of a teenage girl or something that's been put out by a major publisher. Like, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm really firmly looking for like just an actual diary. So then I turned my attention to, I couldn't find them on eBay, and I was like, that's kind of weird. Then I turned my attention to Internet Archive, and that did me no good either, which was kind of disappointing, because I was like, this seems like the kind of thing that this site was designed for, right? Like, they're always talking about how they're going to, I don't know, they're preserving this important history and da-da-da-da, but I'm like, I don't know, man. This doesn't seem like that's what you're doing. Anyway, then I was like, well, maybe. I also tried Etsy. Now, I did on Etsy find there's like one seller who it seems like has the diaries of like one girl, which maybe is the person selling them, which if so, genius. You know what I mean? I know that when she was keeping these diaries, she wasn't thinking, oh, someday I'll sell these on this like weird electronic website for crafts that doesn't exist now, but will, you know. But I'm like, oh, you were so smart to hang on to those and then monetize them this way. It's a gross word. Monetize is a gross, gross word. But like at the same time, I'm like, you know, it's not a terrible idea. So I did find that, and I was like toying with it, and then it's like you can get an electronic version. So I bought an electronic version of, you know, you have to pick from, there's like a decade of diaries, and I picked a year. But the problem is it's not like an instant download because this person didn't set this up properly. So I just have to wait for them to get back to me. And that sucks. You know, it's like, oh, God damn it. Don't you know what I'm trying to do here? Trying to read and laugh at a diary on a podcast, God damn it. Anyway, it did. And then, you know, I was like searching all over to try and figure out how to do this. And then the best thing that I came across was someone saying, like, maybe go to an estate sale. Now, that's still going to be probably the diaries of an older person because, you know, someone who is a teenager in the... Well, you could have been a teenager in the 70s, and I guess if you've kept your diary this whole time, it may go on sale at an estate sale. I probably wouldn't sell, like, my mom. If my mom had a diary and I found it when we were, like, setting her things up for sale, I wouldn't sell it. I would probably throw it away if the choices were sell it or throw it away. You know what I mean? If I was not inclined to read it or I was not inclined to... whatever, find that interesting. I also don't think I'd sell it because I'd be like, well, who's going to want to buy that? Now, maybe on the other hand, you're just like, fuck it. You know what I mean? Maybe it's like, oh, screw this. I'll just, you know, whatever. $5 is $5. But that just seems kind of cruel to me, I guess. I don't know. I tried shopgoodwill.com. But, you know, it seems like that's not going to work either. They have a lot of diaries, but, you know, I don't think any are, like, used. It's a weird thing because it's like, yeah, I understand that probably everyone's like, why would anyone want a used diary? You know what I mean? Who's going to want that? And it is kind of a weird niche thing, but I'm curious about it. I then found this website where this lady... has been doing that, and she's like, I've read over 10,000 diaries, and she has like a huge collection at her house, and she does a podcast where she like reads the choicest bits, but I think most of her diaries are very old, and she's like talks a big game about like, ooh, it's about preservation of people's stories and whatever, and I'm like, well, make them fucking available then so I can see them. I want to do. Others of us have podcasts, you know, not just you. Okay. Come on. Stop being so selfish. So anyway, I have purchased a digital diary and we'll just see if that comes to anything. I have a feeling it will not. But hey, you know what I mean? Like, whatever, I guess, we'll just see what happens. I'll get it. I'll see if it's any good. If it's no good, I'll just report back and be like, listen, it's not good. It is not good. But whatever. However, if it is good, I'll definitely make sure to treat you all to some of it on this show. So get excited for that. And yeah, as far as the project, you know, of like, someone needs to start collecting these because it would be really fun and really amazing. And, you know, you could have highlights and you could create like an upvote system. So it's like people who are like, this is a fun, juicy diary to read. That would be pretty amazing. But, you know, then on the other hand, I'm like, well, fuck that. Like, maybe if I find diaries, I'll just digitize them and sell them on Etsy. Monetize. Oh, God. The other thing that I have no memory of how or why I came across this, but it was something I heard some news story about an asteroid that was going to... Okay, by the way, I know there's asteroids, meteors, and meteorites, okay? I don't know which are which. I don't care. I really don't care, all right? But, there was an asteroid, I believe, that was going to pass close to the Earth. And I can look up the difference between the three. I know how to do that. And it's like, I know, I think it's something like an asteroid's just out in space. A meteor is something that's entered the Earth's atmosphere, and a meteorite is like on the ground or something like that. You know what I mean? It's not important. We all know what I'm talking about. Space rock. Okay? And not like Captain Beyond albums. We're talking about a big fucking chunk of shit that's out flying around in space. So there was a giant space rock that was headed towards Earth, but, you know, scientists were like, I think it's going to miss, you know, and they were like pretty sure it was going to miss. And then the closer it got, the more sure they were, like, ah, we're going to be fine. And then what was interesting, though, is that got me thinking, like, I bet there's a lot of things out there potentially flying towards the Earth. And like, what would we do if one of these was flying towards the Earth? I've seen the movie Armageddon at least 12 times. My old roommate, Travis, when we were in high school, was obsessed with that movie, and he would go see it in the theater over and over. I think he saw it 18 times in the theater, if I remember correctly. Like, he was going for 20, and I don't think he quite made it just because it had exited theaters in the time it took him to get to 20, but he got to 18, which is a highly respectable number. That is a, like, Taylor Swift fan trying to see every possible showing of the concert movie level of dedication. You know what I mean? Like, I know that if you go see the same movie in the theater twice, that feels like a lot. You know what I mean? I could count on most of one hand the number of movies I've seen twice in the theater. And, like, as far as the times I've done that in the last 20 years are extremely low. I know I saw Fury Road twice, and it was partially because I loved it, but partially because I had to write a column about it. So I was like, well, I got to refresh myself. You know what I mean? That was a good thing about writing those Lit Reactor columns. It's like, well, I kind of want to do something. And it's like, well, now I have to. I'm writing a column about it. So, like, you know, and if you think about, like, how many movies have you really watched in the theater twice? There have been a couple movies I've watched too, like, I got the DVD and watched it twice, you know, like, I got it from the library or, you know, when Netflix was a mail service, a mail escort of DVDs service, I would watch the same movie twice sometimes because I was like, this is a great movie. I really like this. But, I mean, it was a couple times at most. So Armageddon's also the movie I've seen the most in the theater. I'm not casting aspersions on my old roommate for seeing it that many times. It was just like a, you know, obsessive, very, he went all the way. He was all in on Armageddon. I can't believe, though, that that approach would probably work for, you know, blowing up an asteroid so that it doesn't hit the Earth. I mean, I guess it's possible. And it did make me think, like, you know, it would be kind of funny with the results of the last election. And, you know, if 100 years from now, everyone was like, actually, it turns out it's a fucking good thing we started that Space Force, man. It's a really good thing. You're like, I guess, but, you know. But it makes sense to me to have a space force, at least in terms of having satellites that, you know, don't get like blown out of space, because that would be a problem. Or, you know, it's been windy the last couple days. And so like our Wi-Fi kind of got fucked up and I'm just like, this is hell. I'm in hell. I can't imagine like if a satellite went down and they're like, well, you'll have internet access again when we can launch a satellite. Okay. But, you know, so anyway, they were watching this asteroid and they're like, it's not going to hit the Earth. But then I started looking into NASA has a pretty amazing Sentry system, it's called. Sentry Impact Monitoring System. Now, it has like a live asteroid watch viewer, which is super cool. But it's also terrifying because you're like, there's so much fucking shit flying around in space. And then also, when you kind of first get onto it, man, stuff looks really close to the Earth. Like, really close. Now, it'll kind of automatically show you. There's, let's see. The five closest approaches to Earth. 2024 VU2 is like 2.5 hours right now from its close approach to Earth. And it's going to be 5.7 million kilometers away. Oh, here we go. You can click it and it changes to miles. Thanks, science. It's 3.5 million miles away. 3.6, really. So you're like, I mean, close is a very relative thing, I suppose, right? Because you say 3.5 million miles away, and you're like, it's not very close. You know, if I did something that was 3.5 million units of really any unit off of any unit that we would possibly consider relevant, and I was 3.5 million of them off of the target goal, I would probably not be very close, right? There's just no accounting for that. But when you like zoom out and you're like, oh, space is really fucking big. So being that close is being close. You know what I mean? It's like, it's a little frightening. And then you're like thinking about too, just the math. And you're like, we really do put a lot of trust in people to do this math properly. Because like, the Earth is in an orbit, and, you know, these asteroids are, like, you know, curving around and stuff like that. They're not just, like, shooting straight through space, I think, most of the time. So you're like, so someone would have to predict where the Earth is going to be at any given time, and then would have to, figure out if any asteroids are going to be there at that same time. And then I also was like, well, maybe it wouldn't be so bad because, like, what if the asteroid's there, but the Earth kind of sideswipes the asteroid? That's probably better than, you know, the asteroid, like, slamming into the Earth at full speed, right? But then I was like, well, the Earth is orbiting pretty fucking fast, so maybe that's not better. Maybe that's worse. I don't know. I have many dumb questions about a dumb thing that's probably not going to happen in my lifetime. But it did, you know, it makes me sound like a crazy conspiracy theorist because I'm like, I would not be able to figure out if an asteroid was going to hit. So like, for all I know, it's like everyone at NASA knows this is going to happen and is just like, let's not tell anyone because everyone's just going to fucking flip out and whatever. It makes me wish I had a friend who worked at NASA because I would just be like, well, here's what I'm going to do. You know, unless this person's like so bizarre and whatever that they just never have connected with anything, I'm going to just like check in with this person every so often, not about whether or not an asteroid's coming, but about like, how you doing, buddy? What are you up to? And if I call one day and he's just like, you know, in some ways, I guess I'm doing really well in this exact moment. And I'm really just trying to learn to live in the moment and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, oh, yeah, well, actually, we've all been on kind of an extended break from the office. You know, I can't really talk about it. And then I'd be like, oh, fuck, this is not a good sign. But if he's like, ugh, you know, the fucking garbage man tipped over the garbage can and didn't pick it up and then it blew down the street, or it was like a big, big rainstorm and it got washed down the road like some the worst boat ever designed, you know, and just if he's complaining about that, I'm like, all right, I feel pretty good about the fact that either we're not about to get hit by something or this guy does not know that we are. If he doesn't know, there's no way for me to know. I don't know. But so I looked at the impact risk data. You can look at the like the table and it'll show you like the impact probability and like the number of potential impacts, which I don't even really know what that means. And like the year range. And so you start looking at the year range and you're like, eh. But then there's one that's like 20. Okay, it's called 2024 TK5. And they're like, well, this would be in 2028 is when this is coming. And I'm like, oof, that's pretty likely that I'm going to survive that big, that long. But the good news is this is 0.01 kilometers in size, which is how big is that? 328 feet. So it's not tiny, but, you know, let's see. How big would an asteroid have to be to destroy a city? Sure. That'll work. An asteroid that's at least 460 feet in diameter. A near-Earth object is a threat. So, you know, and if a celestial body of this size crashed into Earth, it could destroy an entire city and cause extreme regional devastation. So 460 would cause extreme regional devastation. But this is 380. Yeah, something like that. So, I mean, I think we'll be okay. Because we should know that it's 2028. This is where this all got funny to me. By the way, there's another one on here, and it's like year range of potential impact, 2024 to 2044. And I'm like, well, or, you know, here's another one, 2027, very soon, to 2122. And I'm like, I mean, one of those dates is concerning. The other is really not. I'm like, I'm going to be so long gone by 2122. It's like 100 years from now. 2028, though. Here's what's funny about it, I guess. Is I wonder about the future and some things about every time there's a hurricane, right? And they're like, we need to evacuate for the hurricane. It seems like, and I could be wrong about this, I've never had to evacuate from a hurricane, I don't know much about it, but it seems like every time it happens, there are a bunch of people who are like, fuck that shit, no one can tell me what to do. And it does seem like oftentimes you catch up with those people on the news a couple days later, and they're like, I was on the roof, I nearly starved, and you're like, well, okay. I guess on one hand, like at some point you decided I didn't want to die, but whatever. And so it just makes me wonder sometimes, like, I know there are reasons that people can't or won't leave. If, you know, if you're super broke and you're just like, I don't have a fucking car. I don't have $400 to buy a plane ticket right now. I'm sure the airlines are charging some weird surge pricing that should be illegal, but isn't right now. And like, all this crazy shit's happening. And on the other hand, I just wonder sometimes if there'd be people who are like, I'm not leaving. Like, I don't trust that this is actually going to happen. This is probably just some crazy experiment. Or they're like, well, I want to stay here so I can get a piece of asteroid. There's probably some kind of space goo on there that's, you know, has healing properties. And would realign my chakras or some shit. And I would like to have that. So I'm going to stay right here. You know what I mean? There's got to be some people who would not only stay there, but attempt to go to the impact site. Even if it was like, you know what? Okay, this is 2028. So if they were like, we are very sure that in 2028, this is going to hit Michigan. Okay. And we don't know exactly where, but it would be a pretty good idea to clear out of there before that happens and to not necessarily make plans that extend beyond 2028 in Michigan. You know what I'm saying? I just wonder, like, would people do that? Or would people be like, this is my home, I'm not leaving? It got me thinking about, like, I started writing a little book about basically what if we had to evacuate the Earth, you know what I mean, for this same reason, for a collision like this. And like, I bet it would be a lot more complicated than we think, not just on the level of like, we don't have the technology or like building enough spaceships or whatever. I just mean, I think there'd be a lot of issues of like people who don't want to go. People who are like, my religion, you know, doesn't allow me to do that, or, you know, it doesn't account for space, so I'm not going. People who are like, I'm not getting on a government spaceship, You know what I mean? I don't trust that. I'm going to build my own. I've done my own independent research, and that's how I'm getting on a spaceship. I'll design and build my own spaceship. Thank you very much. Which, you know, to those people, I'd be like, go get them, Tiger. You know, enjoy being the astronaut farmer. The really funny thing about this, or the really, I think, troublesome thing for me about this is pretty prominently on the screen at the bottom of the chart is print CSV and Excel. So, you know, I can get my own copies of this, which I'm like, print is funny. Like, I imagine printing this out and just putting it up. I think I am going to do that. I'm going to put this up at my desk at work. And, you know, if someone asks me about it, just be like, oh, it's just interesting to me. But in my head, I'm thinking, you know, this could happen. Like, maybe this is a good reminder when I'm at work, either of none of this really matters, or perhaps of like, there is potentially an out here. You know, it could happen. The odds are very low. The impact probability is quite low. But that does, it's not zero. You know what I mean? Highly unlikely and zero are not the same. So you're saying there's a chance that I could get wiped out. You know, on one hand, it's like, well, maybe I should just go home. And on the other hand, it's like, well, you know, you could just keep doing what you're doing and because it doesn't matter. But what does matter? You know, I think it would be kind of terrible, though, to know that the Earth was going to be wiped out in like 5 years. I don't think it would erupt into a horrific wasteland. I don't know. I think it would be like, what am I going to do with 5 years of my life? And then 5 years would go by and I'd be like, I did none of the things that I was thinking of doing. Anyway, it did bother me that this information, they're like, you could get all this info in an Excel spreadsheet. And I'm like, motherfucker, do you think it's my job to like pay attention to this? What am I going to do with this data? I don't even really understand this data. What is a Palermo scale? What's a Torino scale? I have no idea. I don't know. The only things I understand are the things that you've labeled and that are simple. And even then, I don't really know. What is HMAG? I have no idea. Magnitude of H? What's H? V infinity. I don't know. I don't know any of these things. All I know is that I'm mad because they even suggested that I might know these things. And it's like, go ahead and print it out. It almost makes me feel like they're just like, it's like a CYA. They're like, you know, hey, we made all this data available and you guys didn't even look at it. So, you know, how come now you're all upset that we're going to get blown up in a couple days? All right. We'll see you next time. Talk about two times. Talk about one. Oh.